My name is Mike, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. Thinking about that, and I've heard so many people, probably thousands of people, say I'm a grateful alcoholic. So I had to think about that and what I'm grateful for. And I'm grateful for to find some place that helped me to helped me to change what I was doing, where I was going, who I was being, how I was acting, because none of that was in my none of that was in my power, you know. I thought it was. So, all right. Well, look. Let me start you out by saying that I want to just go right to the beginning of where my sobriety, what got me introduced to AA. Anything beyond that is just party time. Everybody knows about that. So, where it started out, what got me really right into a place to where I was in the right place to hear the message was I had gone to court again for another charge that I had. I like to sell things. Okay, and so they wanted to give me more time than I wanted to do. Okay, so my best thinking was to be ready to run out of the courtroom. Okay, which I did. It just happened to work out right, and I don't know how. It ain't God, because God don't do stuff like that. Okay, so something happened downstairs, and the judge, as we were up there in front of the judge, and the judge says, "You guys sit down. We'll get back in a minute because something's going on downstairs in the jail or something like that." I said, "No problem." Sat down, waited. Judge left. A couple other guys left. And I went out the door. I already had a change of clothes waiting. Car parked just in the right spot, you know. Dark sunglasses, the whole shot, you know. And so it took 5 months for them to find me. The cops didn't find me. The bail bondsman found me. Okay, yeah. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, they came bursting in through the windows and the doors and took me off. And it just so happened to be the people were getting on TV and doing their programs and stuff. I don't know if I got on TV, but I know it was the same guy. Okay, he told me. I asked him, and so that was the starting of my starting of things right there. So I was on my way to jail, and I was actually on my way to prison at that time. I'd been to jail many times before, and it just kept getting longer. You know, a week, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 270 days. You know, and then. But none of it was prison. I only had to do prison time one time, and it just happened to work out at the right time in my life where I was done, you know. That was 19. So I got arrested on June 25th, 1996. My birthday is June 26th, 1996. Well, not 1996. My birthday. Well, my AA birthday is. Okay. So, you know, I will be 65 and 26 on the 26th of this month. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you're clapping because I now have Medicare, right? Okay. I'm very happy about that, believe me. So, you know, the sentence was supposed to be 9 months, and I was there for 16. They really didn't care. They just kept me till they felt it was time that they wanted to let me go. And the sentence that I had was an N number. You may not be familiar with that, but that's a narcotics number. And I was like the last one. It was ending right then. Okay, so what that meant was when I go to prison, there is classes, and you have to attend them to learn how to stay sober, learn about your disease and things like that. It's not AA in particular, okay? But I was willing. I attended every class. I still have the certificates of completion for all those classes, parenting and substance abuse and all that stuff. You know, and I even, as a matter of fact, took my GED because I did not pass, you know, graduate high school, so I figured it was a great time to do it. Oh, my God. Where I was in this two-story dorm, 150 people or so on each floor, and there was really no place to really do your work for your GED, you know, studying for school. And my brain was not hearing anything. It's just like going 150 miles an hour. So I sat, you know, and so the only place was a table like this, right by the entrance where everybody comes out and stuff. So it was just nonstop noise in my head. I had to look and read everything 3, 4, 5 times over, but I passed. I couldn't believe it. I really felt great about that. I was able to pass my GED. Not that I passed it in prison. That was some part of the gratefulness, but that I actually did it. So in prison, okay, H&I was brought in. So that's where I first learned about, I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous then. I really didn't. So what I learned was is that, you know, as I went there, I just wanted something else to do besides sitting in my dorm or playing handball, because that's really all I did. So as I started to go to meetings, you know, I heard laughter, which wasn't a lot of laughter around me and my house and stuff at that time. It was, you know, it was traded in for drama, you know. What I liked it so much that I just wanted, you know, every time they had a meeting, which we were really fortunate because I know it's hard sometimes to keep those meetings going in prisons and stuff like that. But it was one every, I think there was a couple times it didn't show up, but it was one like every week or so, which was really nice. And I got introduced to it, and I really liked what I heard. But also at the same time, because I was a narcotics number for them. Now look, I know this is alcoholics meeting, I just want you to know, when the drugs run out, alcohol, okay? All right? And in between, wherever I can, you know? But one made me feel better than the other, I guess. I don't know. So let me get back to where I was. The H&I meetings really introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I really liked what I heard. So for me to get out of prison, I had to find a treatment center that would take me. Well, they only gave me two. One of them was in the city where I grew up in, and I knew everybody there, and I figured, look, I've been in and out of jail enough times, and every time I get out of jail, I don't even make it home. I'm off and running again, so I don't want to go back to that city. So I went to Long Beach, California, which some people might know in here. Anyway, there was a treatment center there, and it worked out perfect for me. The guy that ran the place looked just like Snoop Dogg. Okay? Swear to God, you can be a twin for Snoop Dogg. But the nicest guy, you know, and he took a liking to me. He gave me a good job because I have contractor background, so they gave me a good job in the maintenance for 7 buildings that they had. Guess what I did? I sat in the chair with my feet up on the desk, and that was all I ever did for 6 months. There was never anything wrong, you know. But I had a good time. Every time the van came around for a meeting, I was there. 3 times a day, as much as I could. I did a few hundred meetings, okay? I did as much as I could because I really liked AA. It was just so, you know, something new for me that, you know, I didn't have much going on then, you know? Look where I was, look where I came from. And before that, you know, it was just existence, you know? It was existence. So I only spent about 6 months in that treatment center. I started visiting my mom and my grandmother out in San Fernando Valley, which is where I was from. And you know, the blue line. It's a train, okay? So they had blue line to the red line to the bus, and I did that once a week until my family was comfortable with me being around them again, you know. And it's not that they kicked me out and didn't want me around in particular, but I don't know. It just sort of felt right. I had done a lot of damage, you know, and there was a lot of work to be done there. So I helped my mom with my grandma, and you know, sooner or later, grandma passed away. grandma left us some property, so now we had a house. You know, I helped my mom. I'm still helping my mom now. But in the process, you know, I had to go. I went all to those meetings. So when I moved back out to the valley where I was from, I started doing meetings all as much as I could do. Okay, and you know, I've never done anything right and consistently in my life. Okay, except for drugs and alcohol. So I did not do it all right. What I did was, is I got going real good and loved the meetings and got going, and then I got my life back together, I got my business back, and all of a sudden, here I am this way. Now, I stayed sober 6 years, worked 5, 6, 7 days a week, okay, and found a meeting here and there. You know, I don't know, I can't really tell you how many meetings there was in between there. It was, I'm sure, what happened, of course, is that little by little, as time went on, they got less and less. What drew me back was my business partner, who was another alcoholic addict like me. I was watching him, and he was deteriorating faster than I was, you know. And he just literally said, "I'm not going back to meetings. I'm not. You can't." And a light went off in my head. Said, "Uh-oh, you know, that just doesn't sound right," because AA. Okay, Alcoholics Anonymous had gotten in here and in here, and I wanted it. I just got sidetracked, you know. We all get sidetracked, sometimes for a long period of time, sometimes for a short period of time. You know, the more we work on this thing, the faster we can realize what's going on and get back on the path. So, I mean, even today, my path drifts, but not far. You know, it's just I'm able to know exactly what's going on, how I'm feeling. Anyway, before I get sidetracked on things here, so for 6 years I was doing sporadic meetings here and there, just working, family life, and I always promised myself that if my ass was falling off, I was going to get to a meeting. Now, I guess my ass was falling off then, how I really remember it is that a light came on, and I went back to that first meeting again, and then the light was bright, and I never turned back. So what ended up happening is I got deep into AA again, and my business partner at that time, who we were you know, good friends too, now all of a sudden we weren't good friends anymore. This things deteriorated between me and him to where we were battling. Quick story, real quick. I'm in a meeting, and I know he's already pissed at me, and I see him coming. There's a lot of people at the meeting, a lot of good good friends and stuff around, and I see him pull up at the meeting, and I see him charging right for him. I'm like, oh man, so here, I don't want to fight this guy in a meeting, you know. And just as he comes up to hit me, this big friend of mine steps in and goes, not at AA meeting. You could take that some other place. And that just diffused everything. I think that was God right there, because, you know, it's like sacrilegious, man. You don't do that. You don't bring that kind of drama to a meeting. And I'm so glad that changed around. You know, I picked up a really good sponsor at that time, and I learned a lot from that man. He taught us to be we had a group of guys, and he taught us to be the first ones that if any new person came into the meeting, that we were going to be the first ones. We had to beat everybody else that might want to get up there and shake their hands. You want us to get up there and get them into our fold, you know, not women, just men, you know. But so we got, so it's, our group grew, our personal little AA group grew. And this man, he taught me an awful lot. He really did. He taught me an awful lot. You know, so time went on. I did steps. I worked with the sponsor. I worked with other people. And I learned how to balance my life. I learned how to balance work and AA. I learned that AA comes first, then family, then work. It's just another way to do it, you know. Isn't it? But it sounded so foreign to me. Why would family come before AA? I mean, why would family come before AA? Because family's always number one to everybody. It should be. So that's where the touchy place is. It's not that you would put your family over something, but if you don't, work your program and work this thing really good to the best of your ability, you're either not going to have your family, which already happened to us before we got into sobriety, you know, or things will just fall apart in sobriety for you. So it made sense to me, you know, it made sense. So, you know, I worked really hard at everything, I guess. I don't know. It just seemed to all fall into place so easy, you know. I heard a lot of people talk about struggling through AA, struggling through staying sober, struggling through getting dreams and having cravings and stuff like that. I don't know. I didn't have any. Yeah, I had some dreams, sure. And I just sort of went, whoa, that was cool, you know, and that was it. But I never had cravings. I never had to go out again. So for 26 years, I've been in this thing, except for, you know, like I said, I did that 6 years of, look at, I was in AA. I was just over here. I was watching you guys, having a good time. But thinking of myself, so that's what was going on there. But I've always been in AA. Ever since I learned about it, I've always thought that there's just no other way. You know, I would hope that, well, let me start that over again. If everybody had a chance to do the program as we do it, and I mean everybody in the world or most of the world, just had the want to read the big book and do the program the way we do it, can you imagine how the world would be? You know? So there's so many people out there that don't get the blessing that we have in AA. This is a blessing. I think, personally, and look, the big book is very similar to the Bible itself. Okay? I'm not getting religious with anybody here. I'm not a religious guy. I'm a spiritual guy. You know? And that's where we all are. We're all spiritual And if you have your own religion, that's fine. But the Bible and the Big Book, there's so much similarities. I think that all of it's God inspired. Because let's look. Who wrote the book? Bill W., right? Okay, and Dr. Bob. Couple of drunks. Why did they have the knowledge and be able to put down the words like that when they were just getting drunk a short time before? You know what I mean? Their brain, I know me, when I was new, my brain was scrambled. When I first sat down to meetings, I couldn't hear any of you. I could hear just little bits of voices and stuff. It was like a tumbler wheel in there. I couldn't hear it. It took a year or so for me to be able to literally concentrate on what you were saying to me. So how did Bill W. and Bob and Dr. Bob do it? God inspired. My opinion, okay? So we're all blessed. That's the way I look at it. We, you know, we're blessed. So why is it that the rest of the world doesn't have this? I don't know. I guess we had to be idiots to get that. Now, I don't know. I mean, we had to go through what we had to go through. But is anybody sorry they had to go through what they went through? You know, the damage that they did? Are you sorry because look where you are now. Think about it. I mean, could we have gotten to where we are now if we did it differently? No. We would have been somewhere else in life. Good or bad, I don't know. But my path, no matter how bad it was, no matter how, I'm here now, and I've enjoyed the 25 years and... 360 days or something like that, you know. I've enjoyed every bit of it. And I still do today. I haven't spoken. I haven't shared my story in, I don't know, I'd say probably about a year. Because, you know, just getting ready to come out here and stuff, there was a lot of planning. There was fixing her house and selling her house and buying a house out here and moving and all the stuff. You know, we just got here last year. And we love it here. We're so glad we made the change because I guess we're just, I don't know, it's just, I really can't explain too much why we like it so much here better. I think it's just the fact that the people are nicer, for one thing. There's many reasons. If you want me to list them out, I will. Georgia is, we love Georgia. We love Georgia. We're so glad we made the move out here. But getting to me, I there was no time. Life was in the way. Work was going on and life was going on. And I don't want to say there was no time for me to say, God probably didn't put that particular request in front of me by anybody, because when I have a request, I don't turn it down. That's what I was taught. I cannot turn it down. Where's Greg? I show up, okay? No matter what, I have to show up. So, I sort of lost my train of thought there. That wasn't a lie. I just lost my train of thought. Yeah. So, anyway, but I think one of the things that we really liked about Georgia when we got here is Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. You guys are great. I mean, you really are. Everybody has welcomed us in right away. AA is alive and kicking out here in Georgia, in Jasper, and wherever else out here. All these. So that's really, really what I think just made us enjoy being out here. Because, I've heard a lot of stories from different people. When they move away, they plan. The meetings and the people and stuff like that. So they've already been to where they're going. They know some meetings and stuff, and they're ready to continue their education, so to speak, in AA, And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we're so glad that when we came out here that it just felt easy for us. So thank you. We really enjoyed it. I think that's number one for us right here. We like everything but the humidity. it's tolerable, but I'm telling you what, the last few days have been, we really got a dose of Georgia here the last few days, and I hear that this is not all of it. It can get a little bit worse, So, yeah, and I hadn't worked in a few weeks prior to Monday, and that was my first day back to work, and it was a brutal, brutal day working. I mean, like I said, I'm about to turn 65 here. I mean, I'm strong and all that, but no, it kicked my butt that day. And part of it was the heat. I mean, if it wasn't 100 degrees, 90 to 100 degrees, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad. But you take that along with the humidity, and it was stifling, man. It's like you can't even breathe. You might be used to it. It might be nothing to you. But you're probably smart, you stay home in your air conditioning. All I know is that every time I hit the truck with air conditioning, it was like, oh my God, it was great. But I'll be honest with you guys, I hadn't had this happen to me in a while. And some of the guys that go to my Wednesday meeting, and I think actually the Friday meeting, so a lot of people here heard me share about a dark place that I got into. Like I said, I hadn't worked in almost three weeks. Well, for two of those weeks, I got into this depression. I'm not a person that suffers from depression as far as I know, although my mom has a lot of problems with depression. So I haven't felt that I have a problem or anything like that. And it wasn't debilitating in particular, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm the guy that fixes everything. I've always been a problem solver. I've been on my own since I was 13 years old. I can fix anything. I can handle any problem. I don't have to worry about stress. Stress doesn't affect me. That's throughout all those years. Now maybe it's changed. I don't know. I couldn't identify the stress, and I couldn't identify the problem. A little bit, I was thinking, I thought about it a little bit, and what I did understand is financially I wasn't doing good at that moment. So I know that was bothering me. But it just felt like there was so much more that I could not identify with. And I shared about this in my men's meeting. I shared about this at the Friday night meeting. And I'm so glad that I was able to get out of that. You know, I don't know what started it, and I don't know what ended it. Actually, if I think about it, I wasn't praying throughout the beginning of it. As much as I have a regular prayer every day. I didn't stop that. But I guess I needed to pray more. I don't know exactly what I needed to do. So I started asking people throughout that time. But what I still had in my head, I realized, was that I was trying to fix me. I was trying to fix a problem. That's not how it works. So as I kept asking people and talking about praying and this and that, I started to understand, well, God helps to fix you. Not you fix everything. God fixes the problems. So, you know, in between, I hadn't heard from my pastor or bishop from Los Angeles, where I was living. I had just gotten into a new church that I hadn't been to church in a long, long time. And one of my friends that works for me at that time introduced me to this church, and I just fell in love with the place. The man that runs it is just a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful person, my bishop, and a really interesting guy. He's an actor and a world-renowned karate champion. Okay, he's a master. Doesn't get any higher than he's a grandmaster. You would not think of it. You look at this guy, he's 75 years old, and you would not think of him as a karate guy at all. But I looked him up, and there's pictures of him with Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee, because like, he's been around for a while. He did the Bruce Lee movies, worked with him. He instructed the guys and stuff that were with him. So, but, you know, it's... Anyway, where I was getting to is that there were several pastors throughout the church whom I became friendly with, and another bishop from Las Vegas. Well, that bishop from Las Vegas used to was always sending me quotes from the Bible and just spiritual things to help me. And then I hadn't heard anything from him in a while. Well, during my problem, he sent a spiritual quotation from Deuteronomy, okay? He sent that to me in the text, and it nailed exactly how I was feeling. It was so, just blew my mind. And I texted him back, and I thanked him, and I told him exactly what he had done for me at that time. So little things were coming through, getting through this thick skull to help me understand what was going on. And then, you know, a couple of days later, one of my pastors from the church called, and I hadn't talked to him in a little while. And you know, so I explained to him what was going on. As he's familiar, he knew that I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, because there was other people, many people in our group, well, not many, but anyway. And so I told him what was going on, and he prayed over the phone for me and my family and what I was going through and stuff. And it just, man, really, I could feel it. You know, I could feel that inner feeling that I get sometimes when things are, like when you have a spiritual awakening, you know? And so there was different things that were just, I mean, it was God speaks through other people. That I know for a fact. God speaks through other people. So I was getting people talking to me. And fortunately, with the time I have, I should know to go out and ask people about, and then seek help. Well, I don't always do that, you know, because like I said, I'm a problem solver and a fixer, if I can't handle it, nobody can, you know. It's always been that way, and I've worked hard to get out of that. And past few years or more, I've done, you know, I think I've made some great changes in myself, which is nice. And I like to notice those things, because if I don't notice it, then I can't look at it and go, okay, now what? You know, what's the next move? Because if I'm not growing, I, you know, I just, I don't even know. I don't know what the answer is on that. If I'm not growing, what am I doing? You know. Sooner or later, if I just keep doing the same thing that's been working, it doesn't mean stuff's going to stop working, but you're going to get uncomfortable, at least for me. You know, that's just how I look at it. And I guess that's what's happened. You know, I got uncomfortable on some things, and I didn't know how to deal with it. That was real different for me, you know. I may have had a few times like that before that lasted a couple of days. This time, 2 weeks. And I was getting worried. You know, because I didn't understand it. I hadn't trained myself to ask for help as much as I should have, you know. I can tell all kinds of people, my sponsees and other people, this is what you need to do, you know. And it doesn't mean that we always do it. So I just wasn't ready for that to happen. And I just trying to, you know, the whole thing here is letting you know that God is here and working. He works. He works hard. So to change how I was feeling financially, I said I was, you know, slow on work and stuff like that. It was bothering me. And so I prayed on that also with changing how I was feeling and things like that. And now God's working overtime in the work department. You know, jobs are just coming in right and left. So when that happens to me, I attribute it all to God. Always, you know. I know, because God's been giving me work for years now, because my plate has been so full through COVID. I worked every day but Sunday, the whole 2 years. I literally had to plan to get a day off. What the hell is that? You know, that's God, because I can't make that happen. And everybody, you know, and there was a lot of people out there struggling, you know. And I didn't have to struggle. I tried really hard not to take that for granted, but maybe I did. You know, maybe I did. But I tend to get lost in what's happening in my world, you know. Because I still have those rules in me, that understanding that I need to make this work, you know. I'm the man of the house, I'm the provider, you know, those old-fashioned type things. I mean, my wife, she provides fine. She does real good, because first of all, in this world, it's a two-person economy, you know. If you don't have two people bringing in money in the house, it can get tough, you know. So, but you know, look, hey, I'm full of flaws, character defects. But I've worked hard to minimize those character defects so they don't affect me and pop up, and I'm not able to take care of them. You know, none of us gets rid of our character defects all the way. Sorry, I don't care what they tell you on that. But you know, if they're I work with percentages. If my character defects is used to pop up 75% of the time, it probably was not pleasant, you know. So if I work hard and now they're only popping up 50% of the time as I'm working through sobriety, hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know. And now I get it down and I'm at 35-25%, maybe. I mean, that's my opinion. If that's what's happening, I'm doing pretty darn good, you know. But I'm not getting that without a lot of work, without the steps, without you people, you know. I got to be able to bounce stuff off you guys. I got to be able to see you guys go through stuff so I can feel empathy for you, so we can talk, you know, so that I can learn what not to do, because some of you are going to teach me what not to do. Maybe not in this room, but it happens. You know, I love knowledge. I love to watch people. It started out in early sobriety, because I love to watch people. It started out as inventory. Okay? So So I quickly learned that that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. But I just love to watch. First of all, I love to watch the newcomer come in. When the newcomer comes in, it's my ultimate joy to watch the newcomer blossom. The longer they stay in, little by little, I mean, day by day sometimes, you just watch them just blossom. I have watched a guy in one of my meetings. This guy is about 6'5". He came into the room like this. He wouldn't even look at you. It's like this. I mean, this is a big guy, okay? He was so beat down, he could not keep his head up and look at you. And we surrounded that guy. It's one of my men's meetings. And we worked hard on him, man. You know, I personally didn't, because some of the other old-timers and the people around there, really, they really got him and took him their way. But I had many talks with this guy. You know, we became really good friends and stuff. And it's clearly in my mind, I can remember the day, I could watch this guy's head just slowly rise. And then after, it was probably a year, and somewhere around then, that man walked tall in those meetings. But he was flawed, like he had character defects that were hitting him hard again. So it was like a roller coaster, which all of us get the roller coaster in Alcoholics Anonymous, in our sobriety. So I watched him go, the head would go down. I never seen that happen to anybody before except for this guy. So literally, he is built up and looking you straight in the face, and things look good for him in sobriety. And then when things were bad, it wasn't working his program right, or it wasn't doing something right. You could see that when you talk to him, he wouldn't look at you anymore. You know, his head was in the beginning. His head was literally down like this when he came in the door. Okay, and that just I'm just like, wow, has he got a problem with his neck? What's going on? But it was so strange that later on, you know, when he had problems and stuff, he wouldn't be able to talk to you. Well, he could talk to you. But he, you know, his head was tilted down again, and then as he got coached or whatever, you know what I mean, as he talked to some people, as people talked to him, his head would rise again, you know. And that's been years now, and I mean, I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but last time I seen him, he was doing really good, you know. It's stories like that that just, I mean, and being able to witness them. You know, I mean, you can tell me a story and I go, oh my God, that's phenomenal. Just like I'm telling you right now. But it's the truth. But being able to witness, you know, people new into the program, just beat down, man. You know, look, we all come in at different levels of beat down, you know. And this man was all the way, you know. I can't see him getting any lower besides laying in the gutter, you know. And Alcoholics Anonymous was able to pick this man up and make him a new man, and he's working. He's got, you know, he's got a family now and all kinds of stuff. How does that happen? You know, a new family, not something that he had. He had, you know, he got a wife. He got married. You know, so anything is possible. I have no idea how much time I've got left or how much time I've gone through. I just like to talk. Oh, it's quarter of. Yeah. Where am I here, guys? Somebody help me. Come on, Greg.
You're good.
So, could I have more time?
You can wrap it up or not.
All right. Well, you know what? I've probably said enough. So, maybe if there's anybody else wants to share something. What? Oh, did you wake up now? I'll call you later and tell you what I said. Anyway, you know, like I said... Hey, you know what's weird is last time, if I remember right, last time I stood up and told my story, I was very nervous, but I'm not nervous today. So, that's God. Thank you.